Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. Last couple of episodes, I looked at some potential free agents. You know, what would happen? Would it be much action? Boy, did we get a lot of action. So today, going to go over some of the biggest deals and some of the bigger fantasy impact. Going to go position by position. A couple of the biggest tight end signings. We talked about Hunter Henry and Dalton Schultz last week. Been a few interesting moves, not a lot in that area. So going to concentrate on quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. And starting at quarterback, probably the biggest move, Kirk Cousins officially going to the Atlanta Falcons, a four-year deal. I like it for Cousins. I think he's still a high-end quarterback too. He has some quarterback one upside, especially with those weapons. Really like it for Drake London, Kyle Pitts. They should be shooting up your dynasty rankings and especially your redraft rankings. That team actually went out and got Darnell Mooney in free agency. I think he can have some fantasy value. I like it for Bijan Robinson. Probably the only Atlanta player whose fantasy value on a week-to-week basis takes a little bit of a hit is Tyler Algier. I think with a different scheme and with how good Bijan Robinson is, Algier will slide into more of a complementary role, which is what we thought might happen last year, but, you know, you can never count anything out with Arthur Smith. A couple other quarterback signings. Baker Mayfield goes back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a three-year deal. I do like that for Baker and for Tampa Bay. Gives him a little bit of security. We've also seen him be pretty good in that system. They went and brought back Mike Evans, so he's got kind of the band back together. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers for a minute. They signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal, veteran minimum. Obviously, the Broncos on the hook for $38 million, so money wasn't really an object. Gives them kind of an interesting veteran presence. Can Russell Wilson reboot himself? Can he look more like he did when he was a player in Seattle? He actually had some decent numbers with Denver, and I will tell you, I don't think he was the problem with the Broncos, but Steelers really remaking that room. Mitch Trubisky went back to Buffalo as a backup quarterback. Mason Rudolph signing a one-year deal with the Tennessee Titans, who are very active in free agency. He will be a backup there. They traded Kenny Pickett, who seemed to buck at the Russell Wilson signing, to the Philadelphia Eagles, where he'll now be a backup quarterback. You know, that class of 22 quarterbacks, no one other than Brock Purdy looks like they're going to be a starter. Desmond Ridder was traded from Atlanta after they signed Kirk Cousins, will now be a backup to Kyler Murray in Arizona. Sam Howell was traded from the Washington Commanders, who signed Marcus Mariota to be kind of a veteran bridge and will likely take a quarterback at number two. He was traded to Seattle, where he looks like he'll be a developmental player and backup to Geno Smith. So you're seeing all those young guys kind of go behind established quarterbacks, Howell probably has the best shot at a near path to starting, because Geno, 1 year left on his deal, new coaching staff, you know, how long will they want to stay there? But then the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday trade for Justin Fields for a conditional 6th-round pick. So now Fields sitting there with Russell Wilson. The Steelers came out and said Wilson is the starter. Some rumors that they want to sign him to a long-term deal as soon as the season ends, that they were just waiting because Denver was on the hook and it saved the money this year. Justin Fields, big decision looming on him. He's going into year 4. If they want to pick up that 5th-year option, they have to decide by May 2nd. They won't have had very much time to see him. So a lot of pieces moving, but you know, now looking at it, out of that quarterback class of 22 and 21, the only two that are definitive starters, Trevor Lawrence, still a starter in Jacksonville, now actually has Mac Jones, one of his draft classmates, behind him at quarterback. And as I mentioned, Brock Purdy in San Francisco, the rest of them all, you know, maybe backups, maybe not. We don't even really know if Trey Lance is a 2 or a 3 or if he'll stay on the Dallas roster. No one can be quite sure what's going to happen with Zach Wilson. So as we go into this new draft, we're talking about 4, 5, 6 guys might be franchise quarterbacks. A word of caution, we have seen out of some of these draft classes, things do not pan out the way you are expecting. A couple other interesting quarterback signings. Gardner Minshew goes to the Raiders on a 2-year, $25 million deal. They still have Aiden O'Connell. Wouldn't completely rule them out of taking a quarterback in the draft, but kind of makes you wonder exactly what they're looking to do. Sam Darnold signs a 1-year, $10 million deal with the Vikings. Definitely veteran bridge there. The Vikings also went out and acquired the number 23 overall pick from the Houston Texans. That gives them 11 and 23. Conventional wisdom is that they are going to try to move up into the top 6 to take one of the top 4 quarterbacks. You would figure with Fields moving, Caleb Williams a lock at number 1 to Chicago, Daniels and May probably 2 and 3. Hard to imagine the Commanders or the Patriots are going to move out of those spots, probably looking at quarterbacks. The Commanders have Marcus Mariota, but that's a 1-year deal for a veteran bridge. The Patriots signed Jacoby Brissett, kind of a 1-year veteran bridge deal. They still have Bailey Zappe, but you would figure they are still in the market to get a quarterback. So, you know, could see 4 guys, including J.J. McCarthy, go up early, because Minnesota is going to go up to try to do something. They do still have Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins on the roster, but I would think they're looking for a quarterback of the future, trying to pivot now that Kirk Cousins is gone. So that's a look at some of the quarterback moves. Another interesting one, Drew Lock went to the Giants on a 1-year deal, some competition to get him. Giants, another team that could be a player in the quarterback market. The team that's really sitting out there that doesn't have a great draft position and also has a kind of glaring hole at quarterback is the Denver Broncos. They have Jarrett Stidham on the roster. They still have Ben DiNucci. They're sitting at number 12, do not have a 2nd-round pick, also have some salary cap woes. You know, with the Vikings getting trade fuel to go up, you know, could Denver just sit where they are? Are they looking at Bo Nix? A lot of questions that are going to be answered in the next month. Well, that's a hot stove on the quarterback market. And let me tell you, draft, not a rich draft class for running backs, but the free agent class for running backs was pretty rich. And we saw some big movements. Saquon Barkley, one of the biggest dominoes, going to the Philadelphia Eagles from the New York Giants, a 3-year, $37.5 million deal. And I'm going to tell you, I like that quite a bit for Saquon. He was running back 8 last year behind a porous Giants offensive line in a middling offense. I think he is still a wide running back 1, especially in Dynasty. And I like that, sadly, for the Eagles. You know, I think that's going to be big for them. Another guy that moved on in a great place is Derrick Henry, who signed a 2-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if we're talking about Dynasty, I still have him kind of in the RB2 range. It's a 2-year deal, but he's getting older. This is really the time to kind of acquire a player like that if you're making a real title push. But if you have him and you're not looking like a contender, try to deal him to a contender, because I think he has RB1 upside in that Baltimore offense for the next couple of years. But then I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of ends up being it for him. Another big one that started a chain of moves was Josh Jacobs signing a four-year deal with the Green Bay Packers. I like that for him, too. I think he has RB1 potential there. I think he is going to get a bulk of the work. They released Aaron Jones in a subsequent move. He signed a one-year deal with the Vikings. For dynasty purposes, I would have him as an RB3 because that one-year deal doesn't give a ton of security. Hard to know. You know, he's been injured at times, some risk. But I do think he has upside if he's healthy in that Vikings offense, depending on what they're able to do at quarterback. The Packers also are bringing back A.J. Dillon. It's a very low money, non-guaranteed deal. Seems like he's going to certainly be a backup. I don't think that affects Josh Jacobs. I have Josh Jacobs up there in the RB1 range. For A.J. Dillon, I think this probably is a sign that he does not have much dynasty value at all. A couple of other big moves. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals signed Zach Moss to a two-year deal. They're going to pair him, it looks like, with Chase Brown. I like both those guys kind of in the RB3 range. In a subsequent move, they traded Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans, and he subsequently signed a three-year extension. I thought that was a great fit and also a great sign with that move. I have him in a solid RB2 range. I think he has RB1 upside in terms of production. I think that's a great fit in a great offense, a young offense. The Texans were looking to do some things. They tried to get in on Saquon. They couldn't get it done, but I think Mixon ends up being a pretty decent fit for them. Tony Pollard signed a three-year, $24 million deal with the Titans. The Titans were one of the most busy teams so far in free agency, building that Brian Callahan system. Pollard will pair with Tyjae Spears. I like Pollard to be in the RB2 range. Spears, I think, is still going to get some run. I have him up in the RB3 range. They also made a huge splash at wide receiver, acquiring Calvin Ridley on a four-year, $92 million deal. So now this offense, they're building around Levis, and I think they are building around Levis for now. They did sign, as I mentioned, Mason Rudolph. They also still have Malik Willis. I think Willis a distant third there. But Levis now has DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley on the outside, Chig Okonkwo at tight end, and has a mixture of Pollard and Spears in the backfield. I think this could be a more fun offense to watch, a more productive offense. I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on having a big dynasty swing for those wide receivers. I have Hopkins due to his age and this level of competition in a wide receiver four range for dynasty could be higher than that during the season. And I still have Ridley in the wide receiver three range in dynasty. I want to see that they can have a high-octane pass offense. I'm not entirely sure they're going to be able to support having all these weapons go off at all the time, but I think this is a great kind of NFL move for Will Levis and for the Titans. Should be an interesting one to watch. Going back to running backs, DeAndre Swift, a three-year, $24.5 million deal with the Bears. The Bears still have Roschon Johnson, Khalil Herbert. Herbert's going into a contract year, was a sixth-round pick. We've seen flashes, but never enough consistency. To me, this is mostly a killer to his dynasty value. I've dropped him down quite a bit. I think Roschon Johnson could be more involved as a second-year back, but DeAndre Swift is the most talented, I would believe, running back on that team and has the best deal. I think he ends up in the running back two range. Devin Singletary went to the Giants on a three-year, $19.5 million deal. We've seen Singletary be decently successful with Coach Brian Daboll when he was in Buffalo. He is not Saquon Barkley, and they still have a lot of questions on that offense, but I like him in a solid RB3 range. Couple of other deals. Gus Edwards, a two-year deal with the Chargers. Chargers kind of remaking that running back room. I think he has RB2 upside if they kind of get that ground and pound thing going, but he's definitely an RB3 for me down in the dynasty rankings. Austin Eckler, who was with the Chargers, does a two-year $11 million deal to the Commanders. They still have Brian Robinson. I think those guys split. I would assume that Eckler would be more of the receiving back. A lot of mock drafts and a lot of trending have them leaning toward Jaden Daniels, who may be a more running quarterback too, which is not always great for running backs. To me, Austin Eckler slides into the RB3 range. I think the same thing for Brian Robinson. I think they cannibalize each other a little bit, just like Robinson had with Antonio Gibson. And speaking of Gibson, he signs a three-year $17.25 million deal to go over to the Patriots. Look, I think Ramondre Stevenson is still the number one back, but I'm sliding him down into a mid to lower RB2 range. I think they're still going to use him as a runner, but Gibson, you don't get that kind of a deal if they're not planning to mix him into the passing game. And I still think the Patriots offense is, if we're being kind, a work in progress. But as you can see, there was just a ton of movement in the running back range. I briefly touched on Calvin Ridley. He was probably the most marquee of the wide receiver free agents, kind of a good deal for him monetarily. I don't think it's too bad of a fit. Should be kind of interesting there. I do think it somewhat kills the value of Treylon Burks, because Burks wasn't doing much when he was by himself, and now he's got DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. They're taking targets to, I guess, semi-replace the Calvin Ridley production. The Jaguars signed Gabe Davis to a 3-year, $50 million deal. I still have Gabe Davis down there kind of in wide receiver 5 range for me, and maybe I'm too low, but he is the ultimate kind of boom-bust guy, and I don't see that changing a lot. We had a lack of consistency with Ridley. I still think Ridley is a better target. I would not be surprised if the Jaguars go and acquire a receiver in the draft, because right now they have Kirk, they have Davis, they have Zay Jones, they have Parker Washington. Evan Ingram's probably the most consistent receiver there. I will still like Kirk and Ingram the best, and I think the rest of them will be tough week-to-week starts. Michael Pittman signs a 3-year, $71.5 million deal, was on a franchise tag. Nice that they got that done. He's still a wide receiver 1 for me, and I think still a great target for Anthony Richardson. A couple of receivers that had some interesting weeks. T. Higgins has that franchise tag, has asked to be traded. No movement so far. Kind of interesting to see how that will shake out, what all will come of that. We don't know yet. But Deontay Johnson was traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Carolina Panthers. So Pittsburgh went and acquired 2 quarterbacks, and they have so far given them, they have George Pickens, they have Pat Freiermuth, they still have Calvin Austin, they signed Van Jefferson. Not a lot there. I'm thinking Pittsburgh has still got a move or a checker piece left to play there, though they probably, with Arthur Smith, will be a run-heavy team with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. But for the Panthers, getting Deontay Johnson, I like that a lot. You forget Adam Thielen was wide receiver 10 the first part of the season. With the volume that he was getting, despite his age and some of the fall off in his personal play, Deontay Johnson, a much more peak and prime receiver. We saw Dave Canales do some great things with the Tampa Bay offense last year. I think this is good news for Bryce Young. They're giving him weapons. They're making some moves to try to strengthen the offensive line. I still like Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders as a decent running back combination. They still have Thielen, and they have the young guy, Jonathan Mingo, there. But I think Deontay Johnson could go back to wide receiver 2. Upside, I think he will certainly get some volume there. Should be a good thing for him. A couple of other receiver moves of note. Keenan Allen was traded from the Chargers to the Bears. That sets up to give Caleb Williams a pretty good receiving core of Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet there in Chicago. Be interesting to see what they can do. The Chargers also released Mike Williams, so I think that puts the Chargers squarely in some kind of receiver market in the draft, because now they, it's also a good chance for Quentin Johnson going into year 2 to maybe take a step up. He and Josh Palmer are probably the top of the receiving depth chart there. They have a couple of tight ends led by Will Disley, but that feels more like kind of a blocking run scheme kind of setup. I think they will get some kind of elite pass catcher for Justin Herbert, but definitely a little bit of a concern as they're remaking that passing group there. Curtis Samuel signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with Buffalo. I think this just effectively kills my thought that Khalil Shakir might be in for a bigger breakout year. I feel like they do some of the similar things. Doesn't feel like a true number one. I don't know that Buffalo is totally done. It is a wide receiver rich draft. Maybe they bring in another player. Stephon Diggs is there. Still seems a little bit upset, a little back and forth with that team. So we will see how that all shakes out. I like Samuel. He's done some good things. I thought he was he was more consistent than Jahan Dotson when he was in Washington. Could have a little bit of sneaky fantasy upside. We will see about that. And then the last kind of newsworthy move of note that I will touch on, Marquise Brown signing a one-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. Probably best case location for Marquise Brown. It feels like he's going to be kind of more of their deep threat. I don't worry about what this does to Rashee Rice. I still think he's locked in as probably their best receiver. It's a one-year deal. Will he have a bigger slice of the pie than Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who they released? That's hard to tell. And I also don't think it rules out the Chiefs from taking a wide receiver again in the NFL draft. Travis Kelce is still there. They also made an interesting signing, grabbing Irv Smith Jr. on a one-year deal at tight end. So they've built in a few pieces around there. You know, I'm still betting on Kelce. I still like Rashee Rice. Color me intrigued with Marquise Brown. The real thing is, for all the people that think it's wheels up now that he's with the Chiefs, if I find somebody that thinks he's going to be a wide receiver two or could have his wide receiver one season, I'm moving him for maximum value. Because again, a one-year deal, not a ton of security either, something to watch for in Dynasty. Well, that'll do it for me this week. I will be back in a couple of weeks looking at any other moves that have come up and getting ready for the draft, the season coming hot and heavy, a lot going on this year. So I hope you have a wonderful week and stay tuned. If you want a little bit more of me and want a little bit of movies tonight, Eric and I will be looking at the movie Damsel and doing a celebration of the Boondock Saints since it is St. Patrick's Day. But until then, you guys have a wonderful week. I'll see you in a couple weeks.